Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, your presence is here. We thank you that you kept us in your presence, and therefore we see the things which are transpiring before us, magnifying your glory. And Father, we just pray that we would be protected, Lord, from the things that are about to come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Good to see you all. So, good to see you. Well, this morning we're going to minister on the end time depression judgment. This will be part three. As I said, I'll be reading a lot of quotes. So, just pay attention to what Brother Branham said, because this is 50-some years ago, and almost 60 years ago, actually 59 years ago. So, from invasion of the USA, he said, let me tell you, when Mr. Roosevelt, the man's dead, let him rest, I trust he is, come in and run in 3 and 4 terms and taken over just a preliminary dictatorship, I can prove to you that in the scripture where that said it'd take place. That's right. We haven't got no more constitution. She broke to pieces. So, all right. Now, my challenge for you is to find the place in scripture where it talks about this person, where we haven't got no more constitution, and that this person becomes a dictatorship, because I'm sure it's there in the book of Daniel somewhere. But anyway, that's what he said, and we've seen those things come to pass. So they have already broken the Fourth Amendment against unlawful searches by instituting the Patriot Acts and creating the NSA and recording all your conversations on your cell phones. Now, you know, it was before that illegal for them to pry into your conversations, but they're doing it now. And through the Patriot Act, they don't need a court order. So far, there have been various cases where police use the invasion of the home to get a neighbor, but since it was not the military, there's no breach of the Third Amendment as yet. But watch for this to change. Now, the Third Amendment is actually unlawful military taking over your home, you know, and living with you. But we see city and state and federal governments breaching the Second Amendment, which gives you your right to bear arms. So it is currently under attack daily. And the First Amendment is under attack with all the censoring by YouTube, Congress, J6 arrests, Facebook, and until Twitter was taken over by Elon Musk, it had been targeting anything as false that goes against what Washington preaches by the so-called elites in Washington. In other words, you couldn't go on YouTube before and make any comment against what is going on, because then you were considered a terrorist and a radical. So they've made all the American population terrorists and radicals, but the only ones who are not terrorists and radicals are the federal government. Wink, wink, right? All right. Everything's all smatter, Brother Bram says. The Republicans is just as bad. It's 6 of 1 and 6 of the other one. You know, the Republicans, you think that they're going to do something because they're talking about it. No, it's just talk. They're in there for one purpose, and that's to get reelected. Forget them, all right? For every kingdom is going to be smashed, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ shall stand and reign forever. That's right. And Daniel saw the rock hewed out of the mountains and hit the political world back there and mashed it into a grinding powder like that, like the wheat on threshing floor in the summertime. But that rock grew into a great mountain that spread over and filled the whole heavens and the earth. Of course, we know that Christ, he's a solid rock, right? So, from here ye him, and you notice the sign, bankruptcies, foreclosures, layoffs, bailouts, and down markets. I think it's kind of a comical thing, but it's actually a reality, because that's what we're seeing today. They never had a juvenile delinquency among the Mennonite people. They've never had a rock and roll teenage stuff amongst the Mennonite people. And if they can produce a crop like that, without our modern education, God be with them is my prayer. I'd rather have my boy in something like that and not even know his ABCs. I'd rather he'd know Christ and be born again and not know the difference between split beans and coffee. Right? We need the old-fashioned gospel preached again in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. When our nation gets to a place that it robs us of our Constitution, it shows that communism or communists has rottened it to the core. All right. That's a quote from William Branham, and it's in 1958. Now, you know, many of you weren't even born, but a few of us were. But we can remember when this nation, like Brother Brad said, you're seeing your best time ever in 1960. Well, this is the year 2023, and it's not so good, is it? All right. From The Comforter, 1961. We are all American. I think so, in the church tonight. We're all American citizens. We're thankful to be American. But yet, what happened to our American heritage? What was it? We begin to compromise. As soon as we compromise, we lost the sacredness of our heritage because we compromised. We run presidents 4 times. That breaks down the Constitution. And we do things today. And we even... to this little parking meter that we have on the street, that's unconstitutional. There is no such a thing in the Constitution. It's against the Constitution, yet we do it. And we do all kinds of things that's against the principles of this nation was founded upon. We do everything contrary, so we lose our heritage. Because why? We compromise upon the principles that was based upon. Like Brother Bell said, no politician can ever make a right decision. Because why? Because he's a politician. And by nature of a politician, he's a prostitute. Okay? He will tell you one thing but do another. In other words, he doesn't live to his conviction. He lives for the moment. Okay? If the polls are doing well, he'll say one thing. If the polls are not doing well, he'll say another thing. Just to get the polls back up. Okay? So, parking meters are unconstitutional. It's a tax without representation. Okay? They just do it. They don't ask you if they have your permission to do it. They just do it. All right? From Trump, it gives an uncertain sound. 1963. We used to could put a lot of confidence in our democracy, and which I do think is the best form of government. But still, our democracy is shaky because we are this nation, our people, we have a constitution, and this constitution is our ultimate. But yet, in that, our constitution is shaky because it's already been broken many times. The late Mr. Roosevelt made havoc of it, out of it. You see, it can be broken. You know, both Democrats and Republicans think Mr. Roosevelt was a great guy. He was a creep. He broke the Constitution. The man was finally, he died in office, but he was just, he was everything against this nation. He was a globalist, basically. He got us into World War II. And not that we needed to be in World War II, but they made arrangements to be attacked, and they would not permit our ships to go out to sea. So our ships were all sitting in the bay, and they knew 3 days before that we would be attacked. But if he was a good president, he would have said, okay, get your ships out in the sea so that it spreads out the Japanese, armada. But no, he just put them all in port, okay? It's not much confidence you can put into it. Politics, oh my, how shaky. People just argue and argue and argue about politics. And neighbors will fall out about it. And people that were once good friends, and some president will raise up or somebody run for the sheriff or something, and the other fellow on the other side of the political fence, and they'll fuss with one another until they fall out about it. Politics. And I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but I think the whole thing's rotten. Yes, sir. So why would you fuss and fall out about something that isn't no good anyhow? That's right. It's just awful bad. And I don't even want to hear about politics anymore because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. And I want All I want to hear about is Jesus Christ and the promises God gave us. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, and, you know, I don't want anything to do with it, so. Okay, so Brother Branham was saying the same thing. Now, so from the message Y in 63 said, I wonder tonight if Christ would come on the scene or over the nation today in drawing this nation to judgment, if that same question wouldn't have been asked. Why is it? Why is it we're doing these things? Why are we fussing in the government? Whether we should read the Bible in public and why, if we're reading all this nonsense, did not our forefathers set this Constitution in order? Did not this nation be born upon the principles of the Bible? Aren't we here for freedom of religion, to act in God the way that we feel fit to act, the way that we are convinced is truth? But you see, we have done something like they did then. We're just letting everything, politics, swallow us up instead of respecting our faith in God and men who have stood for truth. And we are letting our politics run over that and voting in such stuff that's polluting this nation and why we are coming to a judgment. God will rise on the scene someday with a mighty prophet speaking, speak in this generation and tell people they'll see that it's God speaking, but they won't repent. It'll be just like it was then. He said, is there no God in Israel? Is it because there is no God? Same as Jeremiah said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then they could not answer that. Of course there was. Well, he said, then why did you do it? Why is the daughter of my people not healed? Now, we wonder that tonight. Why? Why is there no Bible? Is there no God? Is there no difference? If God is going to bring the people to judgment, he has got to have something to judge them by. There's got to be a standard. If he's going to judge them by the Catholic Church, then if they judge them by the Roman Church, the Greek Church is lost, and the other Catholic churches are lost. If he judged it by the Greek, the Romans lost. If he judged it by the Lutheran, the Methodist lost. If he judged it by the Methodist, the Lutheran is lost. I can't judge it by a church. There's too many different organizations of it. But God will judge the world. He said, by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word is God. And he'll judge him by this Bible, in this Word. That Word, the word is God, and he'll judge them by this Bible for this Word. That is God's standard. Okay. We must measure up to what the Bible says, and we wonder why we got so much confusion, so many organizations, so much differences separating brotherhood and everything is because there is no balm in Gilead. Is because there's no physician there. I wonder if God would ask that question. Now, John Adams said our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. So, you know, the world is insane. People that think that they are one of 72 genders, like today I'm a goat, tomorrow I'm a frog, maybe one day I want to be a dog or a cat or whatever. You know, that's insanity, brothers and sisters. There's nothing pure about, nothing simple about, it's just, well, it is, it's simple insanity, okay? And for us to get caught up into being, oh, Lord bless you, my brother, and be such nice people. And, you know, but this nation is soft and the people are soft and they don't take a vigilant stand on the word. They take, they take a stand to be soft, you know, or we want to be like focused on the family. We want to be nice to people and we don't want to take a stand for the word. I'm sorry, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if I get into brutal fights over it, I don't care because I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to stand for his word. And that's it. You know, I'll apologize at the white throne for being too soft, but I'll also be exonerated for standing on his word. You understand? So I'm standing with him and regardless of what, what the chips may be. You know, we've all heard the thing, you know, let the chips fall where they will. Well, that's what we want to do. So from the third Exodus, Brother Brown said, Mr. Kennedy nationalized that guard and sent those men right back into the face of their own families, standing there under the Constitution. That broke the Constitution again. Well, didn't they just do that with Biden? You know, the whole first week or two of his being in the White House, it was surrounded by National Guard, and you couldn't get in there. You know, and we didn't even know if he was there because the lights were off. So, you know, the whole thing is criminal. The whole thing is criminal. The United States of America is a demonic nation. It's not a Christian nation. And it's filled with demonic rulers who are trying to rule. But, you know, that's Nicolaitan in itself because, you know, why would we want to rule when there's only one ruler and that's God? You see? Okay. That broke the Constitution and said, we'll not fight. No, sir. And said, I hope the nation can find out that we're not living anymore under a democracy, but under a military dictatorship. Now, he said this back in 63, that we're living under a military dictatorship. Well, we've only seen it since about 1980, but if you're old enough, you saw things happening. You saw things changing. Okay. From the third Exodus, he said, and Mr. Kennedy nationalized the Guard and sent those men right back into the face of our own fathers, standing there under the Constitution, that broke the Constitution again, said, we'll not fight no more, and sir, and hope the nation can find out that we're not living anymore in democracy, but our military dictatorship. Okay. From recognizing your day and its message, 64, and if the churches today would only recognize, if the churches would only recognize the Word of God that's made this promise for this hour to the people, they wouldn't perish. If America would only recognize the Constitution that she's drawn up, she wouldn't be willing to take Bibles out of the school, take the name of God off of our coins, and pledge allegiance under God. But she doesn't recognize it. Why? She's blind and naked. She can't recognize the blood of these precious boys that's died in the field for this privilege. They've forgotten. They're dust. Man in his six senses has just come along with his horse and buggy, trusting God. You know, I'm just going to stop here and just say, you know, in 1974, okay, I went to officer candidate school for Marine Corps. At the end of the school, 10 weeks, I was offered a commission upon graduation from college, which was the next year. I turned it down. They got so mad because I turned it down. I'll tell you my reasoning for turning it down is I saw during our training, they were telling us our next war would not be in jungle war like Vietnam. It would be desert. Well, what do they have? Desert Storm. And everything's been in the desert ever since. And I said, I am not going to die for a principles of selling oil. I'm not going to die for oil. Okay? I am going to live. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I have to make a commitment for 6.5 years because, you know, naval aviation would be a fighter pilot. And I was 23 years old, and I was not going to, you know, take a fourth of my life and devote it, you know, for flying and then going to war. So, you know, you say, well, you're just a chicken. No, I'm smart. You know, I was smart because I would have been dead by now had I gone to, you know, to Afghanistan or one of these places. I would have just been, you know, somebody else's, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I only say yes, sir, to God. All right? And you too. You should, your absolute is God, period. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Now, they're forgotten. They're dust. Man in his six senses has just come along with his horse and buggy, trusting God. In the last 75 years, he quit trusting God. When they signed the Constitution of this United States, they put God in everything they did. Now, they don't even have a meeting, and they never even name his name. That's right. They depend on their loftiness of their science, their cunningness of their science, a lewd bunch. That's right. That's exactly right. The whole world is swallowed up in ignorance of the Bible. The whole world has turned from God. And listen, let me just say this, because I'm at the end of the sermon, I'll get into this a little more. But the world is in debt, $775 trillion. It's growing at 5.6% a year. It will be in debt in another few years to a tune of quadrillion. Now, only one person has that kind of money, and that's the Vatican, and with their gold. But they can't pay off their priests that have been pedophiles because we're broke. They're not broke. They have gold. You see, they're just decrepit, okay? They are evil people. They're running. Only 600 citizens in the state of Vatican City, which is only a square mile. So I don't know why Putin is waiting to pull the trigger. Because it's only 600 people. You might as well end all the corruption in the world by just pushing the trigger. You might as well. Look, 36 of the African countries have gone busted, okay? They are on the verge of being the most, you know, how you say, they are in worse shape than we are, okay? And we are busted. We own 33 trillion. So just think of it. Right out in the midst of all that, and the church denominations and all their seminary, lewdness and everything, God has took his prophet's word and chopped out a bride. He said he would do it. He's hewed from that thing what he promised he'd do. They depend on their human intelligence, their human science, and so forth, left God out, whom he once trusted. The United States has left God out. They even turned him out of school for our little children can't even hear about him. They've turned him out of school. Now they've tried to turn him off the dollar. In God we trust. They're going to turn out the pledges of allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. They're already not doing that in school. They're going to turn that out. They already did. See, they've went to their own feelings and their own senses because in the last 75 years, he has changed a bit of his senses. He's still the same man God created him in the beginning, but in the last days you can't recognize where we are. And the church has turned from God to that, to the seminary and experience and so forth instead of the word. Don't even recognize him in their meetings, in their schools, or nothing anymore. Israel in the past 25 years has recognized something, has brought them to the homeland as was promised. They don't know how it was ever done. They suffered like everything, martyrdom under them trumpets, but they're in the homeland. They don't know why. Now, I heard a minister preaching about leadership, and I thought, just a minute now. He didn't say our leadership is in God. He said, we as men, you know, we pick a leader because we identify with what he stands for. No, we don't. If you picked me as your leader because of who I am, you've just lost people. I'm sorry, because I wouldn't pick an old crippled man to be my leader because he couldn't fight a battle for me, okay? But if you come to this church to hear the word of God, that's different. Your leadership is the Holy Ghost, and you are here because of him, not because of me, because let's face it, I'm hard to hear and I'm, you know, hard to listen to sometimes. So anyway, so you're not here for me, and I thank you for that. I pray that you're here because the Holy Ghost has you here to hear the word. Okay. Now, what here's out? 1959. And we wonder sometimes when we preached and prayed and fasted and cried, and then, you know, seeing the results of a revival, then to see the wicked cities just turn their back and make fun of it. Newspaper blasted us fanaticism. Don't think it's strange because it's happened all through the ages. Go away and some great vulgar name about them, or call them some kind of a name that they should not be called, but something to make light of the works of God. So the reason I say this, that men and women who believe God and have seen the working of God, and we wonder why Chicago don't have a revival, that's the answer. Chicago will never have a revival. America will never have a revival until God sends it. And he shook this nation with signs and wonders and miracles, and they constantly walked away from it. And the same motive that Jezebel had, that I'd cut their heads off, I'd close their churches if they wouldn't do it. You know, that's just like the woman that's governor of Michigan. Those people have to be crazy to have voted for that woman. She's a witch, number one. And yeah, she is a witch. Now, don't say she isn't. She is. Hillary Clinton was a witch, and you know she was. She called on all of her witches in her coven to cast a spell on Donald Trump. And, you know, even her husband, when he was asked by one of his friends in Arkansas when he was governor, he said, why does Hillary go 3 days every month to Los Angeles. He said, because she's a witch. And she goes to witches' coven. So, you know, people want to be nice. I am tired of being nice. Brother Brandon, look, you know, all you got to do is look on these channels, and you'll see these ministers are all dressed real nice and prim and proper. They got a little tag on, you know, right here. And, you know, every hair is in place. And you know, I'm sorry, but Brother Branham, his testimony was he wore a coat from one suit and he wore different slacks with it. So, you know, his wife would get on his case all the time about he's not dressed proper. He didn't care about dress. He cared about dressing the people in the Word, okay? So America will never have a revival until God sends it. And he shook this nation with signs, wonders, and miracles, and they constantly walk away from it. And the same motive that Jezebel had, I'd cut their heads off, I'd close their churches if they could do it. We still have a constitutional rights. Laws keep some doors open now with constitutional rights. Well, what happened in 2020? All the churches, not this church, but most of the churches were closed. Why? Because we want to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, what about rendering to God what is God's? Huh? I mean, even Easter, no services on Easter because they closed the doors down because they wanted to render to Caesar what Caesar's. I'm sorry, but I'm rendering to God what's God's, and I am in the palm of his hand. He's written me my name in the palm of his hand. All right? Now, for question and answers, 1959, and now that church was taken up, and the remnant of the woman's seed, who keep the commandments of God, have faith in Jesus Christ, not the bride, the remnant of the woman's seed. Then the dragon spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the seed. That's when the Protestant church, under the Federation of Churches, which is the image of the beast, which is now being formed, and there will be a boycott upon all churches like this. Like we're in a great tax gathering right here now, a dispute, trying to say that we're not a church and we got constitutional rights to say that we are a church. You know, I tried to bring a brother from Africa over here and they said, well, you're not a denomination, therefore you can't do it. So this church has been hit by the same ruling. You know, you're not a denomination. He's not in your denomination. He's an independent. You're independent. So therefore you don't really have ownership of him. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want ownership of anybody, but like we're in a great, okay, so he was talking about his church. They were trying to say he wasn't a church, and so he had a great tax thing taking place. As long as the Constitution stands there, no amendment to that, then we absolutely have the rights, just as much right as anybody. Our forefathers stood for that, but what have we done? We broke every constitutional law and that they can break, and soon the Federation of Churches, which all the churches and denominations are invited into, and the devil's got in, and making worldliness and everything in local church members and so forth like that, and great congregation and clash in society, when the little old church is still down yonder, being born again in a mess like any birth is, still paying the price, still getting down and dying out, acting the same way they did when they first got born at the day of Pentecost, same kind of church down there. They'll be closed and shut out under the Federation of Churches. It'll be a boycott like a union or something. You'll either come in or you'll go out. The mark of the beast is on today, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. To reject it is the mark of the beast. Ever who sees the Holy Ghost that you're supposed to receive it and don't do it, automatically you take the mark of the beast because there's only two classes to exist. That didn't have the seal of God, they had the mark of the beast. So to receive the seal of God is to receive the Holy Ghost. To reject it is to have the mark of the beast. There's the whole thing. That's exactly. Now, when God says, you are my people, and you say, but we have to render to Caesar. Okay, that shows you have the mark right there. Right there. You just denied God's word. I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. No, I'm going to use, you know, what the government wants me to use. I'm just saying the mark of the beast is a spiritual thing, but it does have an optics to it. And the optics, they tried to push a vaccine mandate upon the people to where the people would have to take it. And if they didn't take it, they were boycotted. They couldn't fly. They couldn't go to banks. They couldn't do a whole lot of things. They're going to do it now. They found out that it won't work with the vaccine. but it will work when they have a CBD, which is a cryptocurrency, because they'll just shut you off. You know, you try to drive your car like the people in China, and if your social score is wrong, I'm sorry, but you have to hoof it. You'll have to walk. So you better get yourself a bicycle, because you're not going to be able to drive. All right? Now, I've given all of these things that Brother Branham said. I'm going to go to the scripture now and show you what's developing, okay? Romans 7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, although she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law of Christ, that ye should not be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth the fruits of God. Now, what am I getting at? Okay, I'm getting at the law of adultery is the law wherein they would stone you. Now, we're going to receive 100-pound hailstones in this nation. It's coming. And it's coming because the people have committed adultery to the word. So we read on. Paul is telling us the law that governs marriage contract is the same law which governs God and his people. Now, hold that in your mind because we're going to get to there. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by law to her husband so long as she liveth. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Therefore, if she be called an adulteress, there is a law that deals with the punishment of an adulterous woman. And since America married itself to Christ through a covenant called the Declaration of Independence, she is obligated to fulfill her marriage vow. Since she has left her vow, the Declaration of Independence, she must be called an adulterous nation and be punished with the same punishment that the adulterous woman is punished with. To begin this study, then, we must examine this covenant between God and this nation. This covenant that I am talking about is not the Constitution of the United States. That is a covenant between the government and the people. But the Declaration of Independence is that document which places the people of America under the authority of God and his word. Paul said, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so our forefathers expressed their desire for this nation to be divorced from the King of England and his form of government, and to come under the rulership and governance and authority of God's law. That's what took place in 1776. The Declaration of Independence is when, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitles them. A decent respect in the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the covenant of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them that shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So we actually are told in this document that when our government gets to the place where it is evil, it is destructive to these ends, it is the right of people to alter or abolish it. What they did in January 6th was perfectly according to the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence. All right. The bands which we loose, like, you know, you have a band that holds you together as a ring for husbands and wives and whatever. He says, you know, we need to get rid of those bands that hold us to the wrong. You know, once that husband is dead, you're free from him. Your new husband is Christ. Okay. Now, this tells us that we, the people of the United States, had declared a separation and divorce from the King of England and in his form of rule, and had subjected ourselves to God and his authority. Then we find in doing so that a covenant would need to be written for governing the people, by the people. And we entered into a republic form of government under a covenant we call the Constitution of the United States. In this covenant, we established that these unalienable rights, which were God-given, would also be the major focus and priority of our Constitution, binding our people together. So we have the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. You know, we always think of the First Amendment as the right of speech, okay, the right to say what we want to say. But we fail to recognize that it was first said establishment of religion and prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall not touch it. And yet they tell you to shut your churches because of COVID. That's broken the first commandment. Okay, amendment. And to petition the government for a redress of Greece. Okay, while you petition them, you show up on January 6th to the government to petition your Greece, and what do? They arrest you. You know, they've broken the Constitution in doing that. They have no right to do it. All right. Now, Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What about New York? What about Chicago? What about St. Louis? What about all these big blue cities that make it illegal for you to drive through their city with a gun? You know what? The Constitution, it forbids it. They don't have a right to do that. You know, you have a right to your weapon, okay? Now, let's begin to look into God's Word to see what God thinks of adultery, because these two things go together, okay? When he gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the sixth commandment he gave to man was, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I do not think it is a strange thing that this is the sixth commandment when the number six is a number of man, for man was created on the sixth day of creation. And man is now ending the 6,000 years of existence here on earth in which we know that 1,000 years to man is but a day to God. Therefore, he that was created on the sixth day also has 6 days to live out his time here, and it is then fitting that the destruction of man will come on the end of the sixth day. Now, you know, we kind of look at ourselves and we say, oh, woe is me, I'm come undone. You know, I've had a stroke. Michael had a stroke. Don has open heart surgery. Steve, you know, fell on his face with the cast there. You know, we're all getting old. Just think. Tomorrow, you changed. Tomorrow, you change. 1,000 years with man, but only one day with God. Tomorrow, you are changed people. You are changed. Think about it in terms of eternity. Don't think about it in terms of, oh, I got to go another 10 weeks or 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years. I don't care. It doesn't make anything. I'm in him. I'm living in him. I'm an eternal creature. It doesn't matter what I go through here because I know tomorrow I'll be different. Hold that thought, okay? Now, in Leviticus 20:10, God said, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Therefore, we see by the word of God that death is a punishment for adultery. There's coming widespread death to America and to the world. All right? Actually, what I have on the national debt will be given next week, and we'll get more into how does God bring about these things, because we're going to study Deuteronomy 28. And God says, if you hearken to the word or to the voice of the Lord, thy God, these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. But if you don't hearken, what does that mean? Don't pay attention to it. If you just don't pay attention to the Word of God, then these curses will come upon you. Well, this nation is at that point where it doesn't pay attention. In 1956, William Branham crossed America, I don't know how many times, and Oral Roberts dropped his overseas missions, and Billy Graham dropped his, and all of them crisscrossed this nation, and he said, I predict that this year America will reject. And so if you look at the state of economic indebtedness, you will find that it was just beelining, at that time, not only this nation, but the world were just kind of a beeline. They were in debt, but they were all of a sudden, it went like a hockey stick. Why? Because they rejected this message in 1956. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you met with us today, and we see these things, and we feel like, in my soul, I just feel like it's too short, that we could have given pages and pages more of quotes where your prophet was speaking to us. But Lord, we just thank you for it anyway, and we ask you, Lord, to help us be ready to receive what we will next week, and also when we get into the conditions of the church, the council of churches. Help us to have wisdom to see what's happening right now, because it's all being secretive. It's hard to find anything about the council of churches. You can search for council of churches and find nothing, but we know that someone has spilled the beans somewhere. So Lord, we just pray for insight, knowing what's happening, knowing what is ordained to happen by your prophet's voice. We just pray that we would find the signs. Lord, we're walking down that escalator, Lord, in the tunnel called the Parousia. We've seen 81 of the 86 events, and Lord, we're looking for the next one to come, and we're looking for the Great Depression that will take on this nation and bring it to ruin. And we know that it will do the whole world, and then they will give their soul to the devil and will be captured by the beast in his system. So we just commit all of this study to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.